Home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So today we're taking your questions and your comments. You're watching, it's Monday. We are here very alive. Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So this was the question that my beloved put out there for us all last week. Why are the feast days of All Saints and All Souls meaningful for you, and how do you celebrate them? And we got such beautiful responses. Yes. And it is important that we as Catholics, especially if you live in neighborhoods and communities, the way that this world celebrates everything that is ghoulish and gory, and some of it is just straight out demonic. And you drive through some neighborhoods and witches are hanging from houses, yeah. And it's gotten really elaborate. And you just think, why is this so elevated? How did we get so out of whack?
Yeah, it's a distortion.
It is a distortion.
Of All Saints and All Souls. But yeah, you know, it's dealing with death. So there's a reality of death there. And of course, we want the reality of death, knowing that death has been swallowed up in victory.
Yes.
And praise be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But what does All Saints mean to you? How do you celebrate the saints? How do you commune with the holy saints? Who's one of your favorite saints? And then All Souls. After All Saints Day, those godly people who've passed on, we don't know if they're fully purified, and so we pray for their purification, the process of purification, that purgation of their lives, and that they would be cleansed and purified. We went to Mass someplace other than where we usually go, and the priest said, you know, All Souls Day is coming up, and we want to gather the whole congregation together. And he says, you should at least one day out of the year honor all the souls that have passed on. You should be praying like all the time for them, but maybe at least one day.
Right.
And maybe that's a challenge to somebody out there. Do you pray for the souls who have perished, who you know, your friends, your family, your cousins, your parents, and so on, and to offer prayer? Because we are a community, and we want to help and assist them and aid them that they can come into all the fullness of the face of Jesus that they can experience. Would you call us? Let us know what All Souls and All Saints means to you and how you celebrate that, how you commune with these souls and with these saints.
Well, I love that this morning they aired an old show of Mother Angelica, and she had on all the children of hopefully people who work for the network, and the children came dressed up as saints, which is a perfect way for all of us to identify with the saints that have gone before us, that we are not alone, that they have run their race, they have finished their race, and they have won the prize, and there they are. And they want to intercede for us. And then we, as intercessors this side of heaven, pray for all of our loved ones, that they too would be purged and cleansed and to see Jesus face to face.
So we're getting ready for November 1st and November 2nd in a special way to celebrate the communion of saints and holy souls. Why are the feast days of All Saints and All Souls so meaningful for you? How do you celebrate them? Give us a call, email us, 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, remember that we're taking your questions and your comments on our show today. So if you're watching, give us a jingle. We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, you can reach us 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So this is the question for you. Why are the feast days of All Saints and All Souls meaningful for you, and how do you celebrate them? And so one of the things, we're going to be going to Mass on November 1st, and many of you, well, there's lots of Masses happening. Usually it's a vigil Mass the night before, the next day. And so we want you to go out to ewtn.com/All Saints and ewtn.com/All Souls for impactful information on how and why we celebrate these holidays in honor of the dead. Each of these sites offers an ebook to help guide you in prayers through this important season. And then another thing that EWTN is doing is 9 days before the election. And so we are praying, we're doing a 9-day novena. And this morning after Mass, Father Mark led a beautiful rosary for our nation as we're coming into the final days of it all. So much to be praying about, much to be interceding and crying out to our Lord.
And you can just do a search on that. Go to your search bar and just put in EWTN.com, Novena for the Nation, something like that. And that would be great. The sites that we just listed for All Saints, All Souls are absolutely fantastic.
Excellent.
And they're excellent for you, for your children, your homeschooler, whatever. And almost for every saint day, every season of the year, EWTN has has links with amazing teaching and an ebook where you could study. So it's the catechetical teaching of EWTN is absolutely fantastic. And everything is so very well done. Please do go to those sites.
And, you know, there's a great scripture. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." And this is from the book of Hebrews. And you know, when we go through times of suffering in our life, as for me, when I was going through a great time of suffering, battling stage 3 colon cancer, I knew the presence of saints. Because I couldn't call a friend, I didn't want to talk to anybody else, but you call down the saints and they come up along your bedside and they're with you and they're interceding for you and accompanying you so that you too can run your race. And then on these beautiful feast days that we get to celebrate, we get to pray and celebrate them for having run their great race.
You are so precious and cute. You know, you converted into the Catholic Church. You got cancer as soon as you came in.
Right. It was suffering 101.
It was like, oh, this is what I get coming to the Catholic Church. And you said, but what does it mean to fill up the cup of the sufferings of the Lord, you know, to give your suffering to the Lord? And then you said, well, I don't know, which saint should I ask to help me? And you said, I don't know. I'm just calling on all the saints. Every saint, come to me. Come to me. And it was like powerful.
It was
right?
Powerful.
So you don't have to just call on one. You say, I don't know all your names, but you know, we're connected. That's what I understand as a Catholic. And I just call you all down. Do that. If you're sick, you're ill, you've lost a child, you're going through whatever you're going through, we say at the end of every show, you're not alone. You're an important part of the EWTN family. Well, your family is a lot bigger than EWTN. All the angels, all the saints, you can call on them and they will come. You know, Joy, did we read this comment?
No, I'll read it. It says, "I like to go with my family to my grandparents' gravesite and pray for the repose of the souls on All Souls Day. Even if we can't make it there physically, we still make sure to pray a rosary from them." And this is from Philip. You know, and this is where the faith gets caught, right? You have to teach it. It doesn't just happen. You know, I can remember when we would go home to New Jersey, when we lived here in Alabama, we'd go home every year. And we would go tell our children, we're going to go to the cemetery. We need to go see your parents. And then when my parents died, we went to the columbarium where they were both died. And they were like, are these people living or dead? Who are we going to see? Because you have to make that part of your journey. You have to teach that to honor the dead, to be grateful for their passage and their presence in your life. Because they're alive. You might think they are forgotten and done.
Yeah.
But they're alive.
And one of the things for All Souls in our parish that we've done for a number of years, they're doing something a little bit different. One of our former pastors was assassinated at the church in 1921, Father James E. Coyle. Go to that website, fathercoyle.org. And so he's buried now in this cemetery in the Catholic section. It's a place that I prayed at his grave and I came back to the church after I was lapsed. But they gather there mm-hmm. on All Souls, pray for the soul of Father Coyle, and then they pray for like in the all the graves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a gigantic cemetery, Elmwood Cemetery. And I just thought it was so powerful. I almost felt like I've never prayed for like all the graves mm-hmm. in the cemetery, and whatever their condition is, Lord, we pray for their souls. I just felt like the whole ground was trembling.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like all the dead, it was just a trembling. I thought, what a blessing that our priest has come, our bishop has come out, and they're praying for everyone. We don't even know who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
But we're praying for their souls, Lord. Only you know those that need that purification and further redemption, that they would have the right garment on to see. Lord, we just pray, and you just distribute what you want to distribute. So powerful. So you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the cemetery and praying, especially for your loved ones, is just beautiful and critical.
And it's important to teach that to your children.
Yeah.
And here's another comment. It says, when we encourage children to learn about the saints and dress as them, we're inspiring them to live holy lives of virtue and reminding them that there's more to life than just what we can see. And this is Matt from Facebook. And, you know, when we were in parish ministry, that's one of the things we used to do. We have to, as a church, I believe, as a people of life and of the culture of life, we have to do things different than the world is doing, as opposed to witches and goblins and dressing up as scary, awful things. And even if you're watching television now, it's the commercials, they're demonic. And it's just such glorification. But you know, it's all an imitation of what we're all really longing for. We're all really longing for the truth. And we want to know that Jesus has conquered sin and death, and that there is life after death. We're either gonna go to heaven, we're gonna go to hell, or we're gonna go to purgatory. We're going somewhere.
Ultimate destination, heaven or hell.
Right.
But some of us need that purging fire mm-hmm. that we've, the grace of God is on us, but there's something, the temporary stains of sin, mm-hmm. temporal, you know, are still there on many of us. And so the Lord cleanses that, purifies that with his holy fire mm-hmm. that we might be all that we could be as we go into the face of the Lord. You know, I was thinking as we were doing the show, and you know, my mother passed away
mm-hmm.
on All Saints Eve,
mm-hmm.
right? And I didn't know much about All Saints. I just didn't know. I just knew Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And Halloween's rough in New Jersey, where mm-hmm. I grew up. And I was 5 years old when she passed away. And I thought she died on, you know, All Hallows Eve or Halloween Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it wasn't spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It was like all this stuff and mm-hmm. egging houses, mischief night. Darkness,
mm-hmm.
and I thought my mother died on the worst day.
Mm-hmm.
All you know, this Halloween Eve. I hate Halloween. And then finally, as I got converted to the Lord, I said, "Oh, that maybe that's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
My mother died on All Saints Eve.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great thing. This is a blessed thing. This is a beautiful thing." And so may your idea of All Hallows Eve, they've kind of robbed the holiness of that time. We know what the true meaning is of All Saints and of All Souls.
Right. And it's important that we go to church and that we do our part to pray. And one of the things that our parish does is Father takes up, has an envelope, and you get to write all the names of your deceased loved ones. And then Father puts all those names, a stack of beautiful envelopes, on the altar, which is just beautiful. And it's comforting. And I'm telling you, I think one of my greatest gifts to my family and to this world is to be an intercessor, is just to pray that somebody is standing in the gap for those who are lost, those who are wayward, those who are dying and have no one to pray for them that day.
Who are being purged.
We have to pray. And so you think, what am I doing with my life? Pray. You think, oh, that doesn't mean anything. It means everything. It means eternity for somebody. It means heaven and hell. And it's just like somebody prayed a prayer for me. I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve the graces that are coming to me. It's because somebody's standing in the gap and praying for this addiction to end, praying for this reconciliation in this marriage, praying for this family to be reconciled, praying for all your wayward sons and daughters to come to the church. I mean, that we would know who we are as a people of God, that we would be the light that Jesus is calling us to be, that we would be salt, effective salt, not dull salt, salt that when it gets put on, it makes everything come alive. Jesus needs you to be that person, especially in this time of election. We're just praying. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're praying. Because at the end of the day, Jesus is going to be on the throne. Whether there's a Republican or a Democrat in that White House, Jesus is Lord. And he alone, we must trust in.
I'm so glad I'm married to you.
I'm married to you. You're so great.
We believe in the communion of saints. Mm. Do you? The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen and amen and amen. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, before we wrap up today's show, we're going to hear from Joan Lewis, who is in Rome, about the latest updates on the Synod. Joan, what do you have for us?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. Hallelujah, it's over. I'm talking about the Synod, of course. Now, in the presence of 300 bishops and priests, 70 cardinals, and 9 patriarchs, the Mass that concluded the Synod for Synodality was held on Sunday. And this was in St. Peter's Basilica, of course. And the best part of the day for many, many people was the fact that Mass took place on the papal altar under the newly restored, stunning Bernini baldacchin. The baldacchino is the canopy that covers at the top of the 66-foot-high pillars over the main papal altar. Now, the closing Mass, of course, for the Synod followed an entire month of deliberations by 368 members. And then the much-anticipated final document was released on Saturday night. The Pope spoke Saturday, and there was also a press conference. Now, basically, the document reaffirmed its Vatican II connections, and it also had, it covered really a wide range of topics and proposals that relative to the church's activity in the field of evangelization and governance. And the document indicated that the church hopes to be more inclusive and more participatory. It addressed such issues as with the women's role in the church, power of authority, where should that remain, and then also on lay people participating more in governing decisions. Now, saying it was a gift to the people of God, the Holy Father approved the final document shortly after it was voted on by the Synod participants. And then, in a very surprising move, he said he would not be writing the traditional follow-up post-synodal apostolic exhortation. And then, shortly after that, at a press conference about the document, a theologian explained that if a pope expressly approves a synod document, it becomes part of his ordinary magisterium, not as a binding document, but as a set of guiding principles. And by the way, this is all allowed for in Canon 343 of the Code of Canon Law. And just one more thing about the Synod. It basically ended in Rome, but the Pope has appointed 10 focus groups to study specific issues, and they are to turn in their reports in June of 2025, which will be the Holy Year, of course. Now, in his homily, Pope Francis stressed, we do not need a sedentary and defeatist church, but a church that hears the cry of the world and gets its hands dirty in serving. We cannot remain inert before the questions raised by the women and men of today, before the challenges of our time, the urgency of evangelization, and the many wounds that afflict humanity. Now, at the very ending of Mass, a very beautiful event took place. The newly restored Chair of Peter, which is a very ancient wood chair that symbolizes the primacy of Peter, This was brought out in front of the steps of the Confessio, which is where the first Pope is buried, of course. This has been newly restored and renovated, and the Pope sat in silence in front of it for several minutes. And this will be on display in the Basilica, so if you're in Rome, go there, folks. It'll be in the Basilica until December 8th. And the Chair of Peter is normally in a niche above the Chair of Peter, the altar of the Chair of Peter in the apse of the church. So I posted a lot of those photos yesterday on my blog, Joan's Rome. So on that note, back to you.
Joan, thank you so much for another wonderful report, everything happening there at the Vatican. And thanks for joining us today. Such an important feast day, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day. Obligation, All Saints Day. Call upon the saints. Maybe the saint you were named after in confirmation. For me, it was Saint Francis. Joy and I have a special work with life, marriage, and the family. We call upon Saint John Paul II. And you will find that you are being assisted by saints and by angels. If you don't know a name, you say, I just call on all the saints, all the angels, and that whole gang will be with you and will go with you for the glory of God. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and with Joy. Bye now.